Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Mark Isenson. Mark is a member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. He's the author of the best-selling book called The Banker's Secret, which we have reviewed on this show before, and he's a nationally recognized expert on how to painlessly exit yourself from debt. Along with Nancy Castleman, Mark publishes the highly respected Pocket Change Investor newsletter, which I am a happy recipient of, through books, software, audio tapes, and an assortment of other publications. Mark and Nancy's Good Advice Press has saved hundreds of thousands of families billions of dollars. That's with a B, folks. And as I said, he is our friend. He's the author of Invest in Yourself, Six Secrets to a Rich Life. Mark, welcome back to the show.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you. And I want to congratulate you for the last 4 months or so. You've been kind of busy, haven't you?
Yes. I have three children, and between them, we've managed to have four babies in the last few months.
Including a set of twins.
Right, including one set of twins. It's been very exciting.
What's the gender mix?
Well, let's see. Of the new batch, we have three boys and one girl. But we had three before that, so our total is now up to seven. I call it the Magnificent Seven.
Yeah. Well, congratulations, Mark.
Thank you so much.
You have a lot of blessings, don't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I'm glad everybody's healthy and happy, and that's great.
They're all doing great.
Yeah, folks, I had asked Mark to be on the show earlier, actually last month earlier, and he said, "Look, I'm not doing anything till these babies get here. We're keeping vigil over the twins. I think you may have had a little bit of problems there that you were worried about with the twins, and I'm very happy that everybody's fine." Let's talk about investing in yourself. And one of the things that, folks, I recommend you check out the Pocket Change Investor, and we're going to tell you about how you can get that in just a minute. But one of the things that in your most recent newsletter, the Pocket Change Investor, Mark, you talked about is how to take an axe to taxes.
Yes.
Talk to us about that a little bit.
Well, I think that the bottom line is that a lot of us begin to lose sight of the difference between making money and paying taxes, and we begin to think that it's worth doing almost anything to save a nickel in taxes.
Mm-hmm. And how many times have you heard, well, why wouldn't I buy it? It's tax deductible.
Right, exactly.
And if you were in a 100% tax bracket.
Right, exactly. The assumption being that if I buy something tax deductible, I don't have to pay any taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that's not true, and we begin to lose sight of it. My older brother once said to me, you know, I don't mind paying taxes. The more taxes I pay, the more money I must have made.
Right.
And that's the part that we need to look at. Yes, you want to keep your tax burden down if you possibly can, but the more money you make, the more you're going to pay in taxes in most circumstances, and it's a good sign. At any rate, there are a few places where I think people do lose sight of it, and one you already raised, which is this tax deduction question, as it applies really to mortgages and real estate taxes,
mm-hmm.
Especially mortgage interest. We believe that we should buy a house or property in order to pay interest so that we can take a tax deduction.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it's silly to send a dollar that you don't need to send in interest to some banker in order to save 30 cents.
Now, and folks, Mark, we're not saying that you shouldn't include the value of the deductibility of something in the equation to decide whether to buy an investment or to buy some equipment. Obviously,
exactly.
the deductibility is an important component of that equation.
Absolutely.
But it's not the justification for making the purchase in and of itself.
Exactly. That's exactly correct. When you do your financial calculation, you have to look at it realistically. And also, you know, couples are entitled to a standard deduction, which is in the range of $7,000 or so.
Right.
And there are, believe it or not, a whole lot of people who buy a house for the tax deduction and then discover that their tax deduction is really quite minuscule.
They can't itemize.
Right. They can't itemize, or the first $7,000 would have been given to them anyway.
Yeah.
So in fact, the tax deduction becomes very small unless you have an extraordinarily expensive home, at which point there's limits anyway.
15, 20 years ago, I was in this industry, people were buying investments because they were tax deductible, and there were some reasons to do that, but since 1986, since the Tax Reform Act of 86 and subsequent adjustments to that law, there really is I don't know of anything that you would want to buy just because it's tax deductible.
Well, of course, the tax deductions are gone on almost everything that we used to have, but absolutely, mm-hmm. I agree with you. It's a consideration. You ought to look at it. If you happen to be in a position where you're going to buy a piece of property and you're going to get a tax deduction, well, that's a bonus. But don't look at it as if the federal government somehow or other in their Santa Claus mode is going to send you a check for everything you paid or everything you wasted in interest, which is what The Banker's Secret, my first book, was about. And mm-hmm. It was about prepaying mortgages, the whole point to it being that if you pay a little more than you have to, you can save a fortune in interest, and it really doesn't affect your tax benefits very much at all.
One of the things that I that's interesting to me is to hear people talk about leasing an automobile as opposed to buying it. And I ask them, I say, why do you lease the automobile instead of owning it yourself? And when the payment wasn't significantly different, they were going to finance it otherwise anyway, and the monthly payment was going to be about what the lease payment was going to be about what the monthly payment would be on an amortization. And they said, well, because the whole thing's tax deductible.
Right.
And that was the reason they did that.
Right.
Even though maybe it would have been a better investment to have owned the automobile and made regular payments on it.
Especially if they planned on keeping it for a while, which is a reasonable thing to do these days. I mean, cars are coming with fairly good warranties, and in fact,
right.
They're starting to even build them better.
Imagine that.
Imagine that. Who would have ever thought it?
What a novel idea, huh?
Right. They're actually building them for the last a few weeks. But people do believe that leasing somehow or other is going to save the money again on taxes. And I like what Jane Bryan Quinn had to say. She said, leasing a car is a lot like burying a grandfather in a rented tuxedo. The payments are going to just go on forever and ever and ever. And in that sense, leasing a car is a very expensive way to go.
Yeah. I have a little bit of advice that I'd like to offer you and see what you think to offer to our audience. And I'd like to see what you think when we come back after these messages. Stand by, Mark. Folks, it's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. Give us a call. We'll be right back. We are back. It's 24 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is our good friend, Mark Isenson. Mark is a member of the Brain Trust. He's been with us several times before. He is the author, along with Jerry Detweiler and Nancy Castleman, of an outstanding book that you've heard me talk about before on the show with Mark, and that's called Invest in Yourself, 6 Secrets to a Rich Life. Mark, one of the things that I wanted to say about, we were talking about the automobile, how to invest in yourself and how to save taxes and everything, but this is a little bit off the tax issue. I have something that I told my children, and that is if you accept the fact that most people are going to always have a car payment, and I think, Mark, you would agree that most of the people that I know, and probably most people you know, have a car payment.
Unfortunately, except
okay.
for the ones who read my newsletter.
Well, and so what I said was, if you accept the fact that you're going to always have a car payment, my daughter, in this one example, had a good car. Her car was still in good shape, but it was paid for, but she wanted a new one. And I said, look, keep driving your car for 3 more years. You don't have a payment on it, but make a payment to yourself. Make a $250 car payment to yourself into the bank. Earn interest on it for 3 years. At the end of 3 years, you'll be able to take that money and the interest it earned and your trade-in, and you'll be able to pay cash for the automobile you want, and you'll own it outright. But do like everybody else. Continue to make a payment the way you still think you're always going to make a car payment, except instead of making the car payment to the bank, you're making the payment to yourself. And if you ever get into a bind, if you ever have a problem where you can't make that payment, you're not making the payment to yourself, not to the company that could foreclose or could repossess your car.
I think that's excellent advice.
Guess what?
Excellent way to get Americans to start saving some money.
Unfortunately, my daughter did not take my advice. I'm sorry to say.
Well, maybe she's listening today, and she's a little older.
What is it you hear people say? The kids these days, you know, you can't tell them anything.
They're exactly like their parents were when we were kids.
Exactly, no question about it. Let's talk about, by the way, before we go any further, tell our audience where they can get your book.
Well, Invest in Yourself is available at most bookstores, but they can check our website, which is investinyourself.com, www.investinyourself.com,
mm-hmm.
or they can call our 800 number, which is 255-0899. And as I had said to you earlier, the book is normally $22.95, but we're offering your listeners a special price of $16.
All right.
Which is quite a discount.
Absolutely.
If they call that 800 number and mention your show. So it's 800-255-0899. And they'll have to defer gratification slightly because our phones won't be open for another half hour.
All right. Well, I'm sure they'll be swamping them in any minute now. It's called Invest in Yourself, folks, Six Secrets to a Rich Life. It's an outstanding book. Let's move on and talk about the next thing on your list of how to take an axe to taxes. And number two is you called it Invest Smart and Tax-Free.
Right. And I talk about how if our famous friend Ben Franklin was still around,
mm-hmm.
instead of saying a penny saved is a penny earned, he'd have to say something far more contorted, like a dollar saved today is leaves less than 72 cents for you, whereas a dollar saved today means you don't have to earn $1.40
mm-hmm.
before taxes. So basically, saving money on the things you buy is twice as powerful as putting money in the bank or going to work and earning it. Because of taxes, every dollar we save is essentially worth twice as much as every dollar we earn.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, we recommend that people invest to a large extent by not buying things that they really don't need or want, or by buying extra things when they're on sale. Investing in supermarket stock is what I call it.
Mm-hmm.
If whatever product you can store happens to be half price, it pays to buy a lot of it because you yielded 100%, which is a lot better than you can do even on Wall Street, even in this crazy market.
One of the things that I like to recommend to people, and I don't know if I'm getting ahead of our list here, Mark, but one of the things I tell people is if you're considering buying something that is significant in price, and I mean, you know, more than you could afford to lose if you're not happy with it. It could be $500, or it could be $5,000, depending on your station in life, your financial situation. Always sleep on it. If it's any kind of a decision at all, always sleep on it at least one night.
Yeah,
it's amazing how different you feel in the next morning, isn't it?
Yeah, they say 90% of purchases wouldn't be made if people walked out of the store and said, "I'll be back tomorrow."
Now, when we come back, we're going to take a break, Mark. When we come back, we're going to get Mark to tell us how he fits all this advice with what's happening in America today. I mean, where would the world be if America weren't buying things? Mark, let's get back into taking an axe to taxes. And you've been talking about not spending money. Don't buy things you don't need. I thought that's the reason that the economy was doing so great in America these days. I mean, think about it. The global economy, we would be in a depression right now if it weren't for the United States. And all that's come about as a result of Americans making more money and spending more money on stuff.
That's absolutely true. Isn't it interesting, though, that when people talk about us in general, they talk about us as consumers. We talk about ourselves as consumers because that's what we do. We do it better than any other nation in the world.
We have a consumer economy. That's what you hear people say.
That is correct. And they tell us that consumer confidence is up, which means that we're reaching for our credit card more and more often.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's all true, and if everybody were to follow my advice, we would absolutely have serious economic problems in this country, at least for the short term, as everyone essentially went back to an agrarian lifestyle. However, the good news is there's not a ghost of a chance in any place that everybody's going to follow my advice.
Right.
So most Americans are going to continue to take their credit cards out and go buy things that they have absolutely no need or use for.
Because the things that you and I are espousing this hour are not much fun, are they? If you think, I mean, not the doing of it, the result is fun. If you can be disciplined, the result of your advice is a lot of fun. There's great reward there. But in the doing of the advice that you're giving and that I'm subscribing to as well, that's not much fun, is it?
Oh, I don't know. I'm having a great time, and I certainly follow my own advice. I have everything I could possibly want, but I have far less than most people as far as material possessions are concerned. The main thing that I have a lot of is time.
Mm-hmm.
I have all the time in the world because I'm not in debt, because I do live a simple life. I don't need a whole heck of a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I've got all the time in the world. You mentioned before that I had 4 grandchildren since January. And I was with all of my children and grandchildren as the new ones were being born. I essentially took off the entire month of April, most of January, and a good part of February and March. And I think that was fun, and the only reason I could do it was because I'm out of debt.
Debt is a cruel master, isn't it?
It certainly is. So in fact, it's not easy to get to that point, and that may be what you're trying to say. But once you get there, life is easy, life is fun, life is good, and you don't feel deprived.
Mark, help us differentiate between personal debt and business debt. Because you and I both know that most businesses cannot grow and cannot acquire the things that they need to grow their business and to be successful and to get out of personal debt without acquiring some debt in the company.
That's true. In most cases, that's true. What I do recommend, however, is that people begin their businesses before they need them, preferably while they still have a day job, so they can start small, which means they can start with very little money. They can fine-tune their business. We call it an ace in the hole. Really learn about the business, develop some kind of customer list, and then, if they want to build it, they can borrow to build it. But by doing that, instead of what most people recommend, which is to get a pile of money and go into business big time, you keep your risk real low, and you can keep your debt level very low. But yes, it's true, there are times when we need to borrow money, and business is one of those times, perhaps. Buying a house, perhaps, is another time. Buying a car is perhaps another time. And there's nothing wrong with that as long as you manage it. The trick is to manage that debt and to keep it low, keep it manageable, and pay it off as fast as possible.
One of the things that you said I like a lot and that I've talked about on the show before, and for some reason it keeps coming up over and over again when I answer email questions that people send me, and that is people who want to go from 0 to 60 in 2 weeks. They want to go from not having a business to having a business and all at once. And, you know, they've got a job or whatever, but they just want to get big all of a sudden. And I agree with you. I think I'd like to see small business owners take it a little bit slower. And if they do that, as you say, they can acquire some things slowly so that whenever they decide to go full-time, they don't have to pay for everything with borrowed money. And it just makes things a lot better. And plus, they get to make mistakes before they have so much on the line.
Right. They can learn from their mistakes instead of really paying for their mistakes.
And they're not as expensive either. Yeah, stand by, folks. We've got to take a break. Mark, hang on. It's 39 after, folks. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. It's 44 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Mark Isenson is our special guest and our good friend. He is the author of Invest in Yourself, 6 Secrets to a Rich Life. And we've been talking about some things that will help you to be more successful and to save money and to not only save money but not spend money and to keep more of what you make. I've told people for years in my consulting business, Mark, that it's not what you make, it's what you keep.
Of course.
That's the most important. And, a lot of small businesses try to drive their top line on their financial statement, which is important, but they don't pay attention to the bottom line. And the bottom line is more important than the top line, obviously.
Well, the trick is to have more than you need, and that brings you down to the bottom line.
That's right. Let's move over to another part of your book that I like a lot. It's called Negotiating No-Nos. And I want you to talk about some of the negotiating no-nos. But before you do, I want you to tell our audience one more time how they can sign up for your newsletter, because I want people to know about this newsletter. I want them to be able to get the newsletter.
Okay. The Pocket Change Investor, which is the newsletter you're talking about, is a quarterly, and it's $12.95 for a year. And they can... The easiest thing to do is either to go to our website, which is, again, www.investinyourself.com, and look at some of the articles which we have up on the website, or they can call our 800 number, and with Visa or MasterCard, order a subscription. It's, again, $12.95, and our 800 number is 255-0899.
Okay. Thanks, Mark.
Sure. Thank you.
And the book is available on Amazon.com.
It's
available. It's available in bookstores around the country.
Right.
And I'll tell you, you were talking about bookstores. A lot of these bookstores are offering some pretty good discounts too. They're getting with the program because they're having to, because of the online situation. And so you can actually go into the bookstore and get a very similar discount in the bookstore, and you can hold the book in your hand.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, of course, there's something nice about having real bookstores.
That's right.
Amazon may change that world, but there's something very nice about having real bookstores and being able to walk into them and look at the books.
Absolutely. All right, let's go over, let's talk about negotiating no-nos. Number one is something I said earlier on, and that is if you don't need it, don't buy it.
That's right. You said that before, and I think it should be obvious, but it doesn't seem to be. If you don't need it and you buy it, you're wasting a lot of money. If you don't need it, don't buy it. And like we said before, the money you save is worth twice as much as the money you earn.
One of the things that I think about is something. It reminds me of when I was learning to fly airplanes. One of my instructors said to me, you know, one of the things you don't want to, it's better to be on the ground wishing you were up there. He was talking about getting up in weather, going flying around in weather that you shouldn't be in. And he said, that the feeling is much worse being up there wishing you were on the ground than it is being on the ground wishing you were up there. And so that reminds me of the feeling of ownership. And that is, it's a good feeling to wake up the next morning and to say to yourself, you know, I'm glad I didn't buy that yesterday because I now want to think about it a little bit more than it is to wake up the next morning and say, oh, my goodness, I shouldn't have spent that money.
That's right. That's right. And too often we do that. Part of the problem is we've taken spending money as a recreational activity.
It is, isn't it?
We think, gee, it's Saturday, let's go to the mall. Instead of, gee, it's Saturday, let's take a walk in the woods or mm-hmm. along the beach or just stay home and enjoy our family.
Right.
Instead, we go to the mall. And once you're there, it's very easy to start impulse buying. So if you don't need it, don't buy it. And one of the things I think about all the time, and I've probably used this example before, is we have an old television. And I could get a new television. I could get one of those big, beautiful screens, maybe a projection screen or something. But the truth of the matter is that the programming will be just as lousy on the big screen as it is on the little screen.
Still be 40 channels with nothing to watch, right?
Right, or 500 or whatever. And so under that circumstance, I figure I don't need it, I'm not going to buy it, and I can save that money, and I can
mm-hmm.
use it for something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no question. All right, we're talking about negotiating no-nos. And the next one is when you're negotiating with a salesperson, don't reveal your bottom line or volunteer much information. Now, how can the guy help you if you don't tell him what's going on?
Well, you can tell him an awful lot of things that are going on, but it's especially true when you walk into a place like an auto showroom. The first question they're going to ask you is, how much can you afford a month? Once they have that number, they can set the price.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. They can set the price so that you'll definitely reach that number. What we need to be interested in is the total cost of something. And if you're negotiating, the trick is to get to the total cost at the lowest cost. And the only way to do that is not to tell the person you're negotiating with what your bottom line is.
Right. And when you go to a car dealership and you don't give them that information, it kind of messes up their whole plan, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. So if you happen to be going to a car dealership and you're looking for a car, the thing to do first is to know in your own mind, you know, what car you want. And the Internet is a wonderful tool now for finding all that out. And knowing in your own mind what that car is worth, and then discussing from that point down. Then if you want to finance the car, after you've made your agreement, after you have the lowest possible price, you can decide what you're going to do, whether you're going to finance it, whether you're going to pay cash for it, whether you're going to lease it,
right,
or whether you're going to go someplace else.
One of the things that I don't like people to do, and I just don't like to see this, and I don't do this myself, is to go one place and get educated. Let the person spend a lot of time with you and get educated, and then take that education somewhere else. And maybe do business with that next person, even though maybe they only saved you a little bit of money. I think that's something that consumers should not do. That's unfair. And you should give the person who educated you, who got you smarter and helped you be a better consumer, you should give them a little. You should pay them a little bit for that. What do you think, Mark?
I would agree. I would say don't close the door,
yeah,
so that you can go back to those people who helped you the most. And that's, in fact, what it should be about. You should
stand
go
by.
A few
stand by, Mark.
I've got
to take a quick one. Sorry about that, folks. It's 50 after. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. It's 54 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our special guest is our good friend Mark Isenson, the author of Invest in Yourself, 6 Secrets to a Rich Life. And folks, I recommend you check the book out at your bookstore or online at Amazon.com or at this website. Go ahead, Mark.
www.investinyourself.com.
Or the 800 number.
800-255-0899.
Okay. Thanks, Mark.
Sure.
And if you call them, folks, and tell them you heard it on the show, they'll give you what works out to be about a $6 discount, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. In fact, more than that.
Is that right? Good.
It's a $22.95 book, and we'll sell it to people who mention your show for $16.
All right. Great. That's almost $7. That's great. Thanks, Mark.
Sure.
We'll continue to talk about negotiating no-nos as we wrap up the hour, Mark. And I had just said something about how to deal with people and to give the person who educates you, the company who educates you, pay them a little bit. If you're buying a $1,000 television and you got smart at one location and somebody else is going to sell it to you for $9.75, go back and buy it. Spend the 25 extra bucks and buy it from the guy who educated you.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with that. Also, the odds are very good that if you go back to that person and tell them what the competition is doing, they'll try very hard to match it.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing you talk about in negotiating no-nos is don't dicker if the price is already fair.
Right. There certainly are times when dickering seems to be appropriate at a yard sale, perhaps. But, you know, if you're at a yard sale and you see something you know is worth $100 million and they want $5 for it, that's not the time to say, I'll give you four.
Right.
But that's an exaggerated example. The real thing is, it's nice to deal with people you know. It's nice to deal locally. We try and do that. And if there's something you want and the price is fair, pay it. If the price is not fair, leave.
One of the things that I do, I have this standard thing, and sometimes I embarrass the people I'm with because they don't do this. And I just say, I mean, I've done this at McDonald's, believe it or not. I mean, people don't believe this when I say this. I mean, I don't walk up every time, but there have been circumstances where I bought a lot of hamburgers, and I walked up and I said, hey, I'm going to buy 100 hamburgers. What's the deal? And I always say, for anything, I'll say, what's my best price?
Right.
And sometimes they'll say, yes, I have actually done that at Kmart. And I got a discount on a television that was not marked because I said, what's your best price at Kmart?
Mm-hmm.
And most people think you can't do that at Kmart, but you can.
Well, it's amazing the number of places you can negotiate, and you just want to keep it in some fair realm.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be abusive.
Right.
But sure, you're entitled to the best price you can get if it's something you really want or really need. If it's something that you don't need or don't want, no matter what price you pay for it, it was too much.
Right. Another thing you point out in your negotiating no-nos is something I think is kind of interesting. You say don't shop when you're in a bad mood.
People have a tendency to spend a lot of money to make themselves feel better.
Hmm.
And obviously, it may make you feel better at the instant, but then you're going to go home and eventually you're going to get the bills and you're going to have to pay them and you're not going to feel so good then.
Right.
So that's not a good time to go shopping. And of course, we've all heard don't go shopping for food when you're hungry.
Right.
I know I've done that from time to time, and I know that I start to buy more because I definitely need to have something to eat right that second.
Right, absolutely. Mark, we've got to wrap it up for this hour. As always, you've done a great job. Thank you very much for helping us to make sure that we get the most for our money and that we can do a better job of investing in ourselves. And I appreciate you being with us today.
I appreciate the invitation. Take care.
Thank you, Mark.
Bye-bye.
We'll have you back again real soon.
Thanks.
Folks, that's Mark Isaacson. He's the author of Invest in Yourself, 6 Secrets to a Rich Life. And we always enjoy having Mark with us. As I mentioned, he's a member of the Brain Trust and a very valued member as well. All right, I got to wrap it up for this hour. Before I go, I want to thank the most important members of the Small Business Advocate Show, my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember these 10 two-letter words. If it is to be, it is up to me. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.